Amen. Thank you. You may have a seat, and as you're in this space thinking about God and maybe thinking, finding yourself at the foot of that hill, and the way I interpret those lines that say, you always find me in between the thunder and lightning, is you always find me whenever I'm scared, whenever I'm uncertain, whenever I'm unsure, whenever I'm uncertain of your love, of your grace, of your mercy. I'm uncertain that what I just did is going to wreck my world. Whenever I'm uncertain, whenever I read the news, you find me. And you say, I love you. And we're reminded God so loved the world. He didn't just love me. He loves every last bit of his creation. God, thank you for loving us. Thank you for showing us what real love looks like, Lord. True love is not to love whenever you are loved back or loved in kind. True love is to love impartially. True love is the love of a parent whenever their kid is obstinate and rejecting the love of the parent. God, we accept your love, but Lord, we don't just want to accept that you love us. We want to accept that you love every last person in this world. And we want our hearts and our minds and our lives to be shaped in that direction, that we live in love, not just to those people who look like us, act like us, think like us, not just to the people who are lovely to us, but we would live in love to everyone that we come across, that our path crosses this week, Lord. And Lord, here's what I know is that's difficult, because not everybody acts lovely. Not everybody acts kind. And so, Lord, we know that it's a work of your Spirit within us. But Lord, we who are recipients of your love, we know that to whom much is given, much is required. And so we who are recipients of your love know that we have a great responsibility to let this world know who you are by loving ourselves, Lord. I pray that you would help us to love well. Be with us as we go to your word, and open up our minds and our hearts to receive that which you have for us today. If anybody is doubtful of your love, they've never accepted that you love them with an everlasting love, and that, yeah, that your mercies are new each and every day, that you will forgive their sins, that you will rescue them from any nefarious ways of living, Lord, that you will fill them with your Spirit, Lord. I pray that today would be that day that they would know that, and they would trust and accept that, Lord. For those of us who are recipients of your love, fill us full, Lord, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Amen. We're going to return to our series in John, The Word and the Light, and we're going to be in John chapter 1 this morning, and let me get this set up here real quick. And this morning, we're going to hear the testimony, or the story, I guess, as it's told, of Jesus' very first disciples. And the question that we're going to ask is, what did they see and what did they hear? And, you know, somebody's Bible's reading for them. I like it. It's good. You're fine. I just feel bad for you, because I know how that feels. Like, you're like, oh no. Yeah, don't you worry. Don't you worry a thing about that. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to read a lot and just see, seeing and hearing. I've told you I'm going to wear this out, right? I'm just going to wear it out. But it just pops up so much, especially in this next section. And I think just kind of my big idea that I have as we come from this is they're looking and they're finding some things, but they're finding out that they are seen, that they are known, by Jesus. And I would just invite you to kind of consider that he knows you. He knows all of you. And he accepts you. He doesn't wait for you to get dolled up, gussied up, cleaned up, purged of your sins before he says, follow me. And then there's this thing that's like they see Jesus and they're quick to accept some things about him, but Jesus says you're gonna experience a whole lot more. You're gonna see a whole lot more. And so like we take these early testimonies, and I think in John's gospel what we have to understand is these early testimonies of the people believing, you'll hear this a lot. But you got to remember, at the end of chapter 2, Jesus, it says a lot of people believed in Jesus, but he did not entrust himself to them. And in chapter 6, a lot of people come to Jesus after they've been fed, and then he has this discourse with them. He said, you just came to me for my stuff. You didn't come to me for me. And many of them walk away. And so John's gospel, like when we see they all believe, we can't go, oh, they all believe. It's fickle. And I think there's a lesson to us there that we know that like faith can be a fragile thing. And our faith in Jesus and our faith in God can be a fragile thing. And I'm not talking about saying that I believe the way of, or saying I believe things about God, but do I really believe in living the way of Jesus? Because living the way of Jesus is demanding and it's costly. And it doesn't look like the way of this world. And so when we see this, we could go, oh, wow, they started to believe, but we're going to see throughout the gospel that their faith grows. And some people's faith that was there at the beginning, it's like that the sower who goes out to sow the seed, and it takes root, and it begins to take root, and then the sun comes up and it burns it. And so let's just remember as we see all this that John's taking us on a journey through his gospel. They're going to believe, but Jesus says, you're going to see more of me, and you're either going to believe me more or you're going to believe me less. And so with that, let's do this. Let's go ahead and begin reading in John chapter number 1, verse number 35. It says, the next day, John has this thing, the next day. He starts out all of his like little scenarios this way. Chapter 2 will start out the third day. And you're like, the third day from when? You know, I don't understand. And so, but he says, the next day, John, this is John the Baptist, he again was standing with two of his disciples. And as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, look, here is the Lamb of God. He's already said this earlier, but it was when Jesus was walking toward him. He said, look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He says, look, here is the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. So those two disciples went to follow Jesus because they trusted John's testimony, right? They were disciples of John. Now they're going to go be disciples of Jesus. And it says, and when Jesus turned and saw them, he said to them, what are you looking for? One thing I want to note here, Jesus turned towards them. Remember the Psalms that say, turn again, God. How long? How long is it going to be before you turn towards us? And the prophetic voice of Zechariah, and we find it in Malachi, and the Lord says, if you return to me, I will return to you. And so you can hear something echoing here in John's thing. Whenever it says Jesus, they started coming towards Jesus, and Jesus turned towards them. It's like God returning to his people. But he said, what are they looking for? And they said to him, Rabbi, and that means teacher, where are you staying? Now, they're not ignoring his question, but it is kind of interesting because he says, what are you looking for? And they said, where are you staying? What they're saying is, I hear an echo from Ruth. Wherever you go, I will go. Wherever you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. Where are you staying? So we're going wherever you're going. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for you. And so wherever you're going is where we're going to go. And he said, come and see. So where are you saying come and see? Do you all get the hearing and seeing stuff popping up here? Like once you get this frame around this gospel, it just like pops up everywhere. He says, come and see. And they came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him and followed Jesus was Andrew. Andrew is Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, we have found the Messiah. We've been looking for something and we found it. We see now where it is, right? Think about that. And he says, and Messiah, that's the translation that the Greek transliteration for the word that means anointed. And Andrew brought Simon to Jesus. And Jesus looked at him and he said, you are Simon, son of John, but you are to be called Cephas, which is translated Peter, and who knows what Peter means? Anyone? Huh? I heard it. Rock. Peter means rock. So they find Jesus. Andrew diligently, every time you find Andrew in this gospel, he's going to be bringing people to Jesus, right? But he goes and he finds his brother. He tells his brother, we found the Messiah, the anointed one. Now, they have some ideas about what the Messiah is going to be, don't you think? Right? So we found him. We know that this is the guy, right? And whenever Simon approaches Jesus, Jesus says, I see you and I know you. I see you and I know you. So Jesus says, yeah, I know your name. Everybody calls you Simon, but I'm going to call you Rocky. Cue the theme music, right? I've got the eye of the tiger, right? Or the workout montage, right? Bum ba da dum ba da bum ba dum. Jesus sees him and he knows him. Jesus sees you and he knows you. He knows your character. Here's what I would say is like, let him speak over, like, what's my name? What do you call me, Lord? What do you see me as? Here's why I would say that, because I know what you call yourself. Too many times you call yourself stupid, screw up, dummy, embarrassment, shame. Jesus doesn't look at Simon, and we know who Simon is. Who have read the Gospels know that this is a fitting name for him. Because sometimes he's rocky and strong, and sometimes he's kind of dumb like a rock, right? Well, my friend was in the Marines, and his drill sergeant said, "You're about a brick, boy," meaning you're dumb. You're about a brick. Sometimes, I mean, later on in the gospel, Jesus is in this awe-inspired moment. Jesus is bending down before each of his disciples, and he's taken the form of a servant, and he's washing their feet. And Simon wasn't the first one, or Peter wasn't the first one to get his feet washed, and so he's seen all this. And Peter goes, "No, you shouldn't be doing this. I should be washing yours." And Jesus said, "If you don't let me wash your feet, you don't have any part with me." Well, then wash everything, you know. And if like when you read it, it's kind of laughable. Like, okay, there's Peter. Like he doesn't fully like. Sometimes he's like really spot on, and sometimes he's like doink. Right? I bet Peter knew that about himself. I bet, you know, I'm one of those people, I'll speak up. And sometimes I walk away from a room and I go, oh, I said too much. And I'll feel embarrassed. Jesus wasn't being derogatory towards Simon. He was saying, you're rock. And what he would tell him later in another gospel, in Matthew's gospel, he would say, you're a rock, and upon this rock I'm going to build my church. So I know what you say to yourself, and usually we're not really kind to ourselves. And I think sometimes we think that's how we're supposed to be. If we're going to be dutiful Christians, we better not be too proud and too... And then I read Paul, and Paul's like, hey, look, I know I've fought a good fight, and I've kept the course, and I've finished my faith. Wait, how could he speak so confidently? And I was made, like, I've made myself to feel that I can't say a good thing about myself, or I'll just be too arrogant. And so then I say, okay, well, let me hear what God has to speak over me. Because whenever I hear what God has to speak over me, well, here's what I know is he says, you're my beloved son, and I delight in you. God says to me, I know for me, I've made you to be a pastor. And that's not because you're employed by Friendswood Baptist Church, but that's who you are, Macaulay. That's who you are. What does God speak over you? Have you ever gone and sat before him and said, Jesus, you called Simon, you saw Simon and you knew him and you said, you're a rock. What do you call me? Because I know what I call me. And what I call me usually is kind of low grade. And I've always been a little bit scared to call myself competent or capable or strong or resilient or wise or and creative and endued with power from on high. I don't want to say that. Lord, you speak over me. What do you have to say? See, they found him, but then what they found of him is that he really saw them and knew them. In church, he sees you and he knows you. And I think he has a good word to speak over you. And I would invite you to say, God, what is that word? What do you name me as? We'll continue because it's the next day. And the next day, and the next day, and on the third day. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. So he had been in Bethany in Judah, which is is near Jerusalem, right? And then he travels north to Galilee, and he found Philip, and he said to Philip, follow me. Now, Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter, and Philip went and found Nathanael and said to him, we have found him about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote. So Andrew says we found the Messiah. Philip says we found the one who was written about by Moses. What he's referring to there is Moses in Deuteronomy says, there will be a prophet like unto me. When he comes, you listen to him. And then he says, not only who Moses wrote about, but who all the prophets wrote about. I think in his mind, he would have thought about like Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, right? Comfort ye, my people, because I'm sending my chosen one to rescue you, Isaiah 40. We found him about whom the law and the prophets wrote. Again, I want y'all to see the word found. We've been looking for him. We found him. He's Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. Well, he got in trouble with that one because here's what Nathanael has to say. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? This invites us to ask, where do you think no good thing can come from? Right? John's gospel is often going to surprise us with who sees and hears Jesus, where they come from, what types of people they are. And the first surprise is that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah. Right? That's the first big surprise. Jesus of Oklahoma, for some of you, right, Brother Mike? Right? This anything good come out of Oklahoma? No, I'm just joking. A very good comes out of Oklahoma. Jesus of Third Ward. Right? Anything good come out of there? Where do you think no good comes from? Jesus of the Democrats, Jesus of the Republicans, Jesus of them's. Surprise. This informs us that we should always have our eyes open, that where you think no good thing is going to come, you're probably going to find some good. And here's how I'll illustrate that. You have dreaded going somewhere. Oh, I wish I would never have signed up to say yes to this. Dreaded it, complained about it, had a bad attitude. Put your clothes on. Your kid comes in and says, Dad, what? It's not you. You just have to go do this thing. I know I'm not, this is just me. Y'all have never experienced this, right? And then you walk away and you go, man, that was actually really good. It was really great. There's something good to that. I had to do something this week that I didn't want to do. And part of my health and my healing journey has been able to go to God and say, God, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this thing. And God say, I hear you. And sometimes God will say, okay, then don't do it. Why are you feeling like you need to do it? And sometimes God will say, I know you don't. But you're being called upon right now. See, sometimes we don't want to do something, and then we find in the not wanting to do it, man, that we got some great experience. This is how all of life is with any trial or suffering that we face. The writer, preacher of Hebrews says, nobody in the midst of suffering is going, yeah, but after they've endured it, after you've endured it, you learn you got some resilience and you got some strength. One of my dear friends, his son, playing football, kind of a freak thing, tackled a kid and came down on him, and that kid's ankle went into him, and it lacerated his liver. 15-year-old boy, lacerated his liver. Thank God my friend had the wherewithal to not say, walk it off, champ. Because we didn't know. He thought it was a broken rib. He thought, we're going to go in there. We're going to get an x-ray, broken rib. Nope. We're going to take you from St. John's, and we're going to take you up to the medical center because your son might have to go into emergency surgery. We were able to go see him yesterday, and my buddy was talking to him, and he said, son, you know, like, these things, they're hard, but they make you. They're making you into a man. So John is going to surprise us, and the first surprise where anything good can come up is where you would least expect it. The good comes sometimes from where you least expect it. And so Nathaniel, cynical Nathaniel, can anything good come out of Nazareth? Actually, very human Nathaniel, very, very honest Nathaniel, very much you and me Nathaniel. And here's what Philip says, hey, I'm not going to try to convince you. How about you come and see? Here's a good lesson for our witness and our testimony. A lot of people think your witness is that you take people down the Romans road. No, your witness, your testimony is what you experience with Christ. Your experience with Christ. I got to preach the funeral of Brother Red Higginbotham. His witness and his testimony was this. He came to our church for years and years and years, and several times he would go back into my dad's office under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, and he would sit down with my dad. I know he would sit down with Brother Ron Sokol, and they would talk about the gospel, and he would say, I hear you, and he would have tears in his eyes. He said, I'm just not ready. And he would leave, and his wife would look at Faith and say, please pray for Red. And my mom would say to Red, Red, please don't break my heart. And he would, in tears, and I'm trying not to. And one day he was ready. And one day he said, yes. See, Nathaniel said, okay, I'm just going to share my testimony. If you want to find out, you come and see. See, this way of berating people into believing the gospel is so flawed. Let me try to prove to you. Let me make you look dumb. No. Ugh. Not the way of Christ. And this is a great witness. Hey, I'm giving you a testimony, and you can come see for yourself. I'm inviting you to come see Jesus. I don't have to beat you over the head. I'm inviting you. Here's my witness. Here's my testimony. My son, he's like, I'm not so sure about the faith, and I'm thinking about all this, and okay, that's fine. You're welcome. It has to become yours at some point. But here's my testimony. I know this, son. I know that the Holy Spirit of God speaks to me and dwells with me, and I've experienced it. And I experience it through prayer. And I'll tell him, all I can tell you is, I can't explain it to you. You have to experience it yourself. And you're never going to experience it if you don't practice it. Come and see, he says. And as he comes, Nathaniel reluctantly, I guess, I don't want to. as he comes, Jesus says, here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit. And Nathaniel said, where did you get to know me? Just pause and say it right there. He's seen and he's known by Jesus. And Jesus doesn't speak a bad word about him. Jesus says the positive thing about Nathanael. He doesn't say, oh, hey, there's Nathanael who said no good thing comes out of Nazareth. Remember that, Nathanael? How many of y'all, that's the oppressive voice that you have of Jesus in your head? Oh, I'm going to tell you everything you ever did wrong. Oh, yeah, I know, God. I know I can't get it. No, hey, you know what? There you are. There you are capable. There you are strong. There you are compassionate. There you are kind. There you are integrity. Nathanael, where did you get to know me? Jesus, we don't really even get the context of this. John does not fill us in about what happened, but he said, I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you. Now, here's a couple of things that we can call from the Old Testament. Under a fig tree, that was a way of just describing somebody's property. Like they'd say, everybody will be under their own vine and their own fig tree, right? You're on your own, you have your own plot of land, your own property, you're eating of your own food. It was something that they said going into the promised land, and then it was a promise coming out of the exile. You're going to go back to home, and you're all going to be under your own fig and your own vine, right? But it also could be a place where people worshiped and studied and prayed at their house, like under the shade of a fig tree. And that makes me imagine, and I don't know, but I can imagine, and the Bible invites good imagination. It makes me imagine that maybe Nathanael had been praying, come Lord Jesus, even so come, or come Lord Messiah, even so come. And Jesus said, I heard your prayer. Again, I don't know. It's just supposition. And then Nathanael replies to this. Whatever it was, it struck a chord with Nathanael. You do know me. You do know me. Nathanael replied, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. What's Jesus been called now? He's been called Messiah. He's been called the one who Moses and the prophets wrote about. Now, Nathanael's saying, you're the very Son of God. And Son of God could be, out of the book of Daniel, that's like a title. The Son of God is, you're the King. It's a title for like a king. Like you're God's Son who is coming to rule over us. That's why it says then next, you are the King of Israel. This is what they're seeing. They're seeing Messiah. They're seeing anointed one. They're seeing the one written about in the prophets, Nathanael, the great. You are the very Son of God. You're the King of Israel. And Jesus, I think with a chuckle, oh, okay. So you believed because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree. Oh, Nathanael, you're going to see greater things than these. And then he said unto them, very truly, I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. We're going to talk about that here in a second, but before we do, they saw some things about Jesus, but what they really came to know is that Jesus saw them for who they truly are. And I would say this, Jesus knows you and sees you for who you truly are. And if we're going to take our cues from the text, not the cues from my own brain or even my favorite preacher, or pastor. The cues from the text tells us that when Jesus sees them, he doesn't tell them the worst things about themselves. He tells them their strengths. You're a rock, Peter. You don't have any deceit in you, Nathaniel. And again, I would invite you to say, Jesus, I know what I say over me, and I think that that's your voice, but maybe I'm confused. Maybe my flesh or the enemy wants me to think that you think ill of me and that there's no way I can find myself into your grace. See, here's the reality. This is why this is so toxic, because it just denies the gospel, and the gospel says God loves you and you found favor in his sight when you never thought that you could find favor in God's sight. While you were yet sinners, Christ died for you. And we never find out why Noah found favor in God's sight. It doesn't say Noah found favor in God's sight because it's simply God's initiative to say, I find favor in you. Why didn't Abraham get called out of Ur of the Chaldees? No reason given. And in fact, whenever you look at Abraham, he struggles with his faith. He lies. He does things his own way. He doesn't always go to God and say, God, is this the way? So when you read the story of Abraham, you would go, that's peculiar that God, that he found favor in God's sight. Why did Moses? Moses, for all the greatness that he was, Moses, when God called him, had murdered somebody. So again, I think the trick that the enemy wants us to think is that God looks at us and is like, I know all you're wrong. You can come grovel if you want. And the gospel's like, no, Jesus shows up and he's like, hey, Peter. And I bet Peter walked around a lot and probably beating himself up for all the stupid things that he said. Hey, you're a rock, man. And you're not about brick, boy. You're a rock. You're strong. Nathaniel, you have integrity. That's the big idea. What does God see in you? And let him speak it over you. And then here's the key thing. You accept it. Peter had to accept. And that's a growth process too. The last thing I want us to see here is this image that Jesus leaves them with. He says, Nathaniel, you believe because of this. Oh my goodness, Nathaniel, that's cute. That's cute, Nathaniel. but actually, you're saying this big thing now, and you're actually going to see so much more, and you're going to experience so much more from me. And then what he uses is this image, and y'all know where this image comes from. It comes from the book of Genesis, and it comes from the story of Jacob. And whenever Jacob cheated his brother out of his birthright, lied, tricked his dad so that he got the blessing. And then his brother said, I'll kill you. And he said, okay, and he ran. He fled. He went to Bethel, and there he laid his head. And that night he had a dream that there was a ladder coming out of heaven and there were angels ascending and descending upon the ladder. And whenever he woke up in the morning, he said, surely God was in this place and I never knew it. And what we understand that to mean is God was in this place before. He's always been in this place, and I didn't know it until now. And what Jesus is saying is, you're going to see that I'm where God is at. You're going to experience and see I'm not just the title Son of God as a king. I am the very Son of God. I am actually God in this place. I am where God is. And you'll see it. Isn't that cool? Nathaniel, you're going to find out that I'm far more than what you know right now. And here's the last thing that I want to say about this is your faith should grow. And it might have some back and forth, ebb and flow, peaks and valleys, but your faith should take shape and transform. It should not be the same faith that you had whenever you said, God, please rescue me. Paul said, I want you to know, my prayer is that you will know more and more and more the height, the depth, the breadth, the length of God's love. we should be growing in our faith and our understanding of who Jesus is and the depth of his love. And here's what I get scared of. We live in a world where instead of people saying, God loves people so much, they're going, nope, God loves people if they do all these things. And we should only love people if they do all these things, if they fit into this box. Then they deserve my generosity, my hospitality, my compassion. And again, the question for us every Sunday is, don't tell me who you love, tell me who you have a hard time loving. Who don't you trust? And we live in a society right now that is telling you, don't trust them, don't trust them. They're the problem. They're making an enemy out of everyone. And we, as the church of the living God, have to stand there and say, no, God's love is so much for all of these people. And I'm not going to make an enemy. They can make an enemy out of me, but I'm not going to make an enemy out of them. I'm going to win them. I'm going to win them. And how am I going to win them? Because I'm going to beat them over the head. No, I'm going to say, come and see. Come and see. And actually, I'm going to go and show. See, I'm going to cross the aisle and I'm going to love them. So my brothers and my sisters, here's what I would have to say is we can do that. We can be endued with that power to go and do that whenever we let God speak over us, who we truly are, the good word over us, your rock, your integrity. When we let him speak that good word over us, then here's what, there's psychology to this, but here's just what I'll say is, then we can be able to look at others and see the good word that should be spoken over them, not the worst things about them. And sometimes you're going to have to look hard. I think I see. Yeah, there it is. There's a little nugget of humanity. Okay, good. That's what I'm holding on to. They are made in the likeness of God. Okay, good. That's the good word. And because they are, I'm going to love them. Not because they're Republican, not because they're Democrat, not because they say, go trust Jesus, not because they say, don't trust Jesus. Not because they're funny, not because they're intelligent, not because they think you're funny and that they think that you're intelligent. No, because they are somebody who God every day speaks a good word over, and I bet they have a hard time hearing the good word that God speaks over them, just like you and I have a hard time hearing the good word that God speaks over us. So today, let's hear the good word that God speaks over you and me, and then let's go from this place and let's look at people and not looking for the bad words that we can say about them, but looking for the good in them. And let's be the ones who share the good word with them. Hey, you're clever. You're kind. You're compassionate. Amen? Amen. So here's a good time for us right now. Pastor Josh is going to come and play, and you're going to say, God, what do you speak over me? And all these negative things are going to come through your mind because we're trained and equipped to hear all the negative things. And you're going to say, oh, you can come back tomorrow. No, seriously. You go, oh, I know you would think that. Well, you can come back tomorrow. I'm listening to the Spirit's voice. And I promise you, I want you to hear him say, you love people well. You're generous. You're hospitable. You're a good cook. You're strong. You're capable. You have integrity. You're compassionate, you're generous, you're kind, you're just lovely, you're mine, you're my beloved. Will you please go to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to hear the good word that you have to speak over me today. And I promise you, he has a good word to speak over you all. I'm going to pray and then y'all pray. Lord, I pray and I ask that we would hear your voice. We would hear what you have to speak over us today, Lord. We would receive it, Lord. We would accept what you have to speak over us. And might what you have to say to us far outweigh all the garbage that we can say to each other and that has been said to us, and far outweigh all the garbage that we have said to ourselves, Lord. I pray these things in Christ's mighty resurrected name.